Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. LGBT rights advocates cheer Obama, jeer U.S. marriage bans, but celebrate electoral victories. Those stories and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 8, 2008. The estimated 3 in 4 LGBT people who voted for Barack Obama celebrated his historic U.S. presidential victory with much of the rest of the country on November 4th. But cheers were mixed with tears as measures to deny civil marriage rights to gay and lesbian couples passed in Arizona, California, and Florida. Voters in Arkansas also approved a measure banning same-gender couples from becoming foster or adoptive parents. But a record number of openly LGBT candidates were elected to public office in several states, and a high-profile equal rights opponent in the U.S. Congress lost her re-election bid. Connecticut voters rejected a measure to hold a constitutional convention, which they automatically consider every 20 years. The state has no initiative process, and groups critical of the Connecticut Supreme Court's October marriage equality ruling had hoped to have one approved at a constitutional convention, and then use a ballot initiative to overturn the high court ruling, just as opponents in California were able to do.
The most closely watched state ballot measure was in California. Voters there, by a 52-48% margin, approved Proposition 8, making California the first state to rescind existing civil marriage rights for gay and lesbian couples. The state Supreme Court ordered those rights in May, and an estimated 18,000 same-gender couples have married in California since then. The language of Proposition 8 constitutionally defines marriage as exclusively between one man and one woman, but was not specifically retroactive. State Attorney General Jerry Brown said, however, that he would defend in court, if necessary, the marriages of lesbian and gay couples who've wed in California since the high court ruling and before Proposition 8's passage.
At least 3 lawsuits have been filed with the California Supreme Court challenging the validity of Proposition 8. Language in the state constitution differentiates between revisions and amendments to the document. Amendments can be added by a simple statewide majority vote, but revisions, considered to be more sweeping changes, require 2/3 approval by the state legislature before even going to the voters. The constitution, however, doesn't specifically define the difference. Attorneys for the cities of San Francisco and Los Angeles and for Santa Clara County have filed suit, as have 3 LGBT groups that won the historic state high court ruling, and Gloria Allred, representing Robin Tyler and Diane Olson, one of the state's first same-gender couples to legally marry. They're all essentially arguing that passage of Proposition 8 violates the California Constitution's fundamental equal protection guarantees and is therefore a revision and not an amendment. Glenn Levy, an attorney for the Yes on 8 campaign, called the lawsuits frivolous and a brazen attempt to gut the democratic process. The High Court has not yet indicated if or when it will consider the legal challenges.
Thousands of gays and lesbians and their supporters have hit the streets across the state since the night following the elections to protest the passage of Proposition 8 in numbers not seen in LGBT political demonstrations for many years. A crowd of more than 2,000 held a candlelight vigil on the steps of San Francisco City Hall on November 5th, ground zero for the marriage equality battle that began in 2004 when licenses were first issued to same-gender couples, though they were subsequently ruled invalid the following year. According to some estimates, up to 10,000 people protested, mostly peacefully, the same night in West Hollywood. But things deteriorated when demonstrators marched northeastward and into Hollywood, which is patrolled by the Los Angeles Police Department. They called a tactical alert, which critics said was an overreaction. At least 4 people were arrested for disturbing the peace, and one of them for battery on a police officer. But on-scene video showed one demonstrator being attacked by police officers after he'd already been restrained on the ground.
Thousands of people gathered outside the Mormon Temple complex in West Los Angeles the next day to protest the church's strong support of Proposition 8. Depending on estimates, anywhere from 48% to 73% of the millions of dollars raised for the Yes on 8 campaign came from Mormons in several states who were urged by church leaders to donate money and be foot soldiers in support of the marriage ban. While significant funding for the Yes campaign also came from the rabidly anti-gay Colorado-based Focus on the Family and the Connecticut-based Roman Catholic Church fraternal group Knights of Columbus, The huge Mormon Church temple in West Los Angeles was a convenient target for activists' anger. Protesters tied up rush hour traffic for several hours on the city's busy west side. There were few confrontations between activists and church members, but the demonstrations were generally peaceful. During an interview with Fox News, however, Tony Perkins of the right-wing Family Research Council condemned the protests as anti-family rioting. Chanting, "Yes, we can," an estimated 2,000 people protested the passage of Proposition 8 outside Mormon Church headquarters in Salt Lake City, Utah, on November 7th. A handful of demonstrators were arrested during large protests the same night south of Los Angeles in the city of Long Beach. More protests were planned in the days to follow in several other California cities, including the Silver Lake area of Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, Palm Springs, Laguna Beach, San Diego, and Sacramento.
Marriage ban protests are also planned in Phoenix, Arizona in the coming week. Voters in that state also constitutionally banned same-gender marriage on November 4th. They'd rejected a similar measure 2 years ago, but that proposal would also have banned domestic partnerships and civil unions. The more narrowly focused Proposition 102 targeted only same-gender marriage and passed easily. Opponents, who were outspent by a nearly 14-to-1 margin, argued that the measure was unnecessary because state law already prohibited same-gender marriage and charged that Mormon church members from other states also provided major financial support for the Arizona amendment.
Groups on both sides of the constitutional marriage ban in Florida spent more than $5 million on TV advertising and other campaigning. Opponents had hoped the broad language of the measure, which could also ban domestic partnerships and civil unions, and the fact that it required a 60% supermajority to pass, would work in their favor. But more than 62% in Florida voted for Amendment 2. The Yes to Marriage campaign was bankrolled by the religious right, including Florida Family Action, the Florida Catholic Conference, and the Florida Baptist Convention. 30 U.S. states now constitutionally ban same-gender marriage.
Voters in Arkansas approved Act 1, a measure to ban unmarried couples from being adoptive or foster parents. More than 56% supported the ban, which its supporters admitted specifically targeted same-gender couples who can't legally marry in the state. Opponents argued that its passage would make it harder for the state to find the foster parents it needs to take care of children. But the measure's sponsor, the Arkansas Family Council, said it was a battle against what they called a gay agenda.
But several LGBT candidates were elected to a wide variety of posts on November 4th. Jared Polis handily won his Colorado district race to become the third openly gay or lesbian member of Congress. Representatives Barney Frank of Massachusetts and Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin easily won re-election. Kate Brown became the highest-ranking statewide official in the United States with her election as Oregon's Secretary of State. Lupe Valdez was re-elected as sheriff in Dallas County, Texas. Scott Brown joins the Massachusetts State Senate, and Nicole Lefevre won election to the Idaho State Senate. Jason Bartlett was re-elected to the Connecticut State Assembly, and former San Francisco Supervisor Tom Amiano joins new lawmaker John Perez in the California State Assembly. Veteran Mike Lawler won a 12th term to the Connecticut House of Representatives. Matt Titone won a second term to the New York State Assembly. Jim Splaine won another term in the New Hampshire House. And both Jackie Biskupski and Christine Johnson were re-elected to the Utah House of Representatives.
Wins by non-gay but supportive U.S. Senate and House candidates may also further the LGBT struggle for equality. Democrat Jeff Merkley, who as a state legislator sponsored a domestic partnership measure in Oregon, defeated moderate Republican Senator Gordon Smith, becoming the first candidate in 40 years in the state to unseat an incumbent U.S. senator. In Colorado, Democratic challenger Betsy Markey defeated the incumbent right-wing Republican sponsor of the so-called Federal Marriage Amendment in the U.S. Congress, Marilyn Musgrave. Republicans lost House and Senate seats across the country. That gives Democrats stronger control of Congress, though not a guarantee of easy passage of pro-LGBT legislation, in addition to the Democratic presidency of a generally supportive Barack Obama. Three important LGBT bills currently before Congress, the Matthew Shepard Hate Crime Act, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, and repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, will almost certainly go nowhere in the current session, leaving it up to the next Congress to take them up. Repeal of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, or at least parts of it, may also be considered in the new congressional session.
And finally, with the election of Colorado's Jared Polis Barney Frank of Massachusetts says he now won't feel as much pressure to be a role model as the only openly gay man in Congress. He admitted that he plans to smoke cigars in public again. "I can start indulging some bad habits," he said. "Let the young gay people find someone else to emulate."
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 8, 2008. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
California voters approved Proposition 8 by a margin of about 52% to 48% and made their state the first in the U.S. to rescind established marriage equality. The ballot initiative overturned a May state Supreme Court ruling that opened civil marriage to same-gender couples. County clerks stopped issuing marriage licenses to such couples immediately after Prop 8's passage, although an estimated 18,000 gay and lesbian knots had already been tied before the November 4th election. Justin Stinchcombe visited a Yes on 8 office and was at a No on 8 election night campaign gathering in Hollywood. He filed this report for the evening news on KPFK in Los Angeles.
Prop 8 is the most expensive ballot measure in this election or any other. Both sides have invested a combined $73 million in the contest. In a quiet industrial park in El Segundo late in the afternoon, some 15 volunteers sit at folding tables and dial their own cell phones, calling likely supporters to get out the vote in support of Proposition 8. These volunteers see this work as a last-ditch effort to keep the institution of marriage safe in California. Stay-at-home mom Jody Argenbright says she wants her children to grow up in a society that values traditional marriage. She's a Mormon and says she campaigned for the proposition because her church has asked her to.
Our prophet has asked us to be sure that we support Proposition 8 and that we understand how fundamental marriage is to God's plan for us. And that being the case, marriage is how we bring children into this world. And so in order to bring children into this world, you need one man and one woman. And they need to be bound together in marriage under the law.
As the evening draws in, the other side gathers at the Henry Fonda Theater on Hollywood Boulevard to wait for results. CNN calls the race for Obama. Now the wait begins. The crowd hears updates from around the state. Each time, the news is not good. And although no one is ready to concede defeat, the realization that this will not be a quick victory begins to settle in. Jenny Betts works for a nonprofit in Los Angeles. She's been canvassing and phone banking for the No on 8 campaign.
I've been fighting back tears all night. It's such a historic night to have such a high, to have the first African American voted for president, and yet to know that there are my neighbors and my family members and people that I don't know actually voting on whether I'm considered a full citizen in this state tomorrow, and just to know that my own future hangs in the balance of what people decide to put on a ballot is really, really uncomfortable.
John Duran of the West Hollywood City Council and the rights organization Equality California says he takes what looks like a narrow defeat as a sign of how far the movement has come.
And I guess the only silver lining I can look for as the eternal optimist is we're very close. And considering where we were in the year 2000 with Prop 22, we've picked up millions of new voters heading in our direction, which means that when this comes up again, if it has to come up again, we should be safely over the top.
At least three lawsuits challenging the validity of Proposition 8 have already been filed, as Adelaide Chin reported from San Francisco City Hall for KPFA Berkeley's Evening News.
The day after California voters appeared to have approved redefining marriage in the state constitution as between a man and a woman, San Francisco filed a lawsuit with the state Supreme Court to invalidate the passage of Proposition 8. Both Los Angeles and Santa Clara County joined the lawsuit. Mayor Gavin Newsom said at a press conference this afternoon the issue was about equal rights for all people under the state constitution. He made the distinction of separating church and state.
And I'm not here to say that we would ever tell the church what to do on the issue of marriage. It was about civil marriages. And I respect the right of my church to disagree. But I reserve the right, as someone that does civil marriages or is associated with the state, not to treat people in a discriminatory manner.
For now, the marriages of gay couples such as John Lewis and Stuart Gaffney are protected. Lewis and Gaffney wed during California's window period, which started in June and ended yesterday. Lewis had this to say.
When we married, it was truly the first time in our lives that we felt we were equal human beings under the law. We are human beings. We're not political footballs to be tossed around in an election year. And our basic constitutional rights are not something that ultimately can be determined by who has the better campaign television ads, who's able to raise more money from who knows where. Those things can't, in our constitutional democracy, ultimately affect who has the basic freedoms. We all have these basic freedoms.
Matt Dorsey with the city attorney's office said the lawsuit has broader implications than just gay marriage.
The issue before the court today in the lawsuit that City Attorney Dennis Ferreira has filed is of actually greater consequence than marriage equality alone. The issue now is, what is the definition of equal protection under the law? What stands between a constitutional democracy and mob rule tyranny is a foundational principle called equal protection. It is there to prevent a majority from depriving fundamental rights from a disfavored minority.
For KPFA, I'm Adelaide Chen.
Back at the No on 8 gathering in Hollywood, Justin Stinchcombe spoke with a lawyer from Lambda Legal, one of the LGBT groups that's also filed suit against Proposition 8.
The Equal Protection Clause is supposed to say whatever the rights are, everybody enjoys them. And the majority cannot, by a simple vote, take important rights away from a group that's vulnerable at the ballot box.
Jennifer Pizer, senior counsel with Lambda Legal.
That's the whole point of equal protection. We can argue sometimes about what the protection should be, but whatever it is, it should be equal. So the issue here is whether the voters, by a 50% plus one vote, can change equal protection so that it's equal protection with respect to everything except this gay exception, because fundamentally it's no longer equal protection if you make an exception for a minority group. Our California Constitution says that any fundamental structural change in the Constitution is harder to do, that it can't just be a simple majority plus one vote. Actually, if you're going to revise the Constitution by changing its fundamental structure in some way, the legislature has to approve the measure by two-thirds before it goes to the voters. So it can be done, but it's a bit harder, and it should be a bit harder if you're going to cause equal protection to no longer work for the people that need it.
President-elect Obama has taken both sides on the question of gay marriage. He said that he opposes full marriage rights, but at the same time he opposed Proposition 8, saying that explicit discrimination against a particular group was an unnecessary extreme. John Duran is optimistic about the new administration, but he says marriage rights are not at the top of the movement's national agenda.
I think actually the Obama administration has a lot of catching up to do before we get to marriage. I mean, you know, the first thing we have to deal with is gays in the military. I mean, we have to strike down. That's an underpinning of a lot of the inequality in this country. You know, we have to get ENDA passed, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. That's another sort of issue that's been out there for 20 years, the federal hate crime statute. That has to be addressed as well. So there are a lot of things that have been just sort of waiting since Bill Clinton left office for somebody to take. And those are the steps that I think are going to be necessary before we take on the issue of marriage.
For KPFK News, I'm Justin Stinchcombe.
Thousands of gays and lesbians and their supporters have hit the streets all over California to protest the passage of Proposition 8. There have not been such massive street actions in many years. One of the first demonstrations against Prop 8 was held in West Hollywood, where Mayor Jeffrey Prang and City Councilmember Abby Land addressed thousands of protesters from atop a police car.
When do we want equality? When do we want it now? I'm Mayor Pro Tem Abby Land. This is the mayor of West Hollywood. And we have been part of, you know, No on Aid and all of us coming together to express just the frustration we feel, the heartache we feel, but the determination that we feel that we are going to continue to fight and none of us are going to give up. Not us, not all these people, until we win the rights for everyone to be in a committed marriage if that's what they want to be.
I want to express my support for my colleague Abby Land, who's a heterosexual and married. I'm a gay man. I just got married about a week and a half ago. And I'll tell you,
nicest guy.
There is nothing in the world that makes you more angry that you're the mayor of a city, you've got influence and authority, and they're telling me that I'm a second-class citizen. That is just not right, and it's not going to stand. But I know, as we all know, that history and justice are on our side, and we're going to win this battle.
This Way Out associate producer Lucia Chappell was a No on 8 campaign volunteer in Southern California. She shares these thoughts.
I wish I was a chicken. Or actually, I wish I had a chicken's campaign publicist. You see, on the same ballot that Californians narrowly voted to deprive LGBT people of marriage equality, they also voted overwhelmingly to improve the lives of farm animals. I still cringe when I think about the rhetoric for the Cruelty to Animals initiative, all those innocent hens and calves crammed into small, crowded cages, the screaming piglets. Ooh, nasty stuff. The Yes on 8 campaign made heterosexuality the innocent chicken tormented by the specter of same-gender marriage. No on 8 fought a good, clean fight. No hate-mongering scare tactics, avoiding those messy comparisons with other civil rights movements. Few images of loving lesbian families to make people uncomfortable. There are a lot of people who would say it was over-sanitized, and maybe they're right. Working the phone banks, we were frequently told that No on 8 was a highly sophisticated campaign with a scientifically developed strategy to win. We never really had any contact with the other cogs in the big machine, let alone with whoever was pulling the levers or calling the shots. Yet I remained comfortable in the warm glow of youthful staffers and their focus-grouped confidence, all the while feeling that something was missing. I could remember the battle against the Briggs Initiative in the 70s when the professional movement worked one side of the street to defeat a ban on LGBT teachers and the just plain activists worked the other. In the end, everybody had to acknowledge that we couldn't have won that one without both kinds of organizing. Here I was on the professional side for a change, but I couldn't see anybody across the street. Only later did I become tangentially aware that the one scientifically scripted strategy fits all approach was running aground, especially in our outreach to people of color communities. Critics of the campaign would now like to blame the professionalized movement Leopard for not changing its spots and supplying a more activist component to their plan. Meanwhile, some of the pros are seeking to disavow the demonstrations of outrage spreading in the streets. Sad to say, we're hearing the white liberal guilt that motivated some to champion civil rights in the past turn into white liberal blame, with the perception that people of color just don't know how to return a political favor. The right wing will earn a huge dividend if they succeed in not only passing Proposition 8, but in splintering progressives as well. The movement for LGBT rights needs to learn a lesson from our opponents. We need to figure out how to make ourselves the innocent abused chickens in the eyes of the voters before the other side drives us out of the cages and back into the closets. I'm Lucia Chappell.
On a more uplifting note, from his triumphal election night speech to an ecstatic crowd at Grant Park in Chicago on election night, here's President-elect Barack Obama.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer. It's the answer spoken by young and old, rich and poor, Democrat and Republican, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight, disabled, and not disabled, Americans who sent a message to the world that we have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America. It's the answer that led those who've been told for so long by so many to be cynical and fearful and doubtful about what we can achieve, to put their hands on the arc of history and bend it once more toward the hope of a better day. It's been a long time coming, but tonight, because of what we did on this day, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come to America.
No more broken promises, no more call to war, unless it's love and peace that we're really fighting for. Oh, we can destroy hunger, and we can conquer hate. Put down the arms and raise your voice with Johnny Hans today. Oh, I've been looking for a song to sing. I searched for a leader, but the leader was me. And we've been looking for the world to change. But we can be heroes, just go on and say if you're out there. Say it loud if you're out there. Tomorrow's starting now. Now, now.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Christopher Gall, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Sherry Lund, and Lucia Chappell contributed program material. Thanks also to Justin Stinchcomb and KPFK News in Los Angeles, and to Adelaide Chin and KPFA News in Berkeley. You heard an excerpt from If You're Out There, performed by John Legend on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to postal mailed CDs or cassettes of our programs. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WLUW Chicago, Illinois, 7LTN Launceston, Tasmania, Radio Phoenix, Phoenix, Arizona, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.